Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
I am Ezra Hoover.
And this is Double Take. Ezra, new horror film, Weapons, may be the best horror film of the year.
I agree.
I think so.
I thought so.
I was going to be challenging you.
No. I think we're on the same page. I mean, there's not a ton of strong challengers yet, but they're coming. But I love a good, complex horror movie. A lot of new and independent, not independent anymore, but A24, for example, are challenging
the
concept of what a horror movie should and could be.
I didn't notice. Is this A24?
It is not. Yeah, but it feels like...
Boy, it does, doesn't it?
Yes. And the director, Zach Cregger, I think it is, previous film, Barbarian, really threw him onto the scene as a great... I love that movie as well. And this is kind
of... You'll never do Airbnb again.
No. Well, no, I still will. So much fun and excitement. But his ability to combine different genres together, in this case, horror and comedy at the same time, I think are really unique. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen a movie that made me laugh and also disturbed at the same time.
Yes, and I tend to get caught up into the horror part to the extent that I sometimes forget the comedy, and then I say to myself, you know, that was pretty humorous.
It was.
And
you're almost wondering, is it okay to laugh? You're looking around. This is kind of funny.
I don't think of Josh Brolin as being in a comedy.
No, I don't. Although he did play it pretty straight here. And fun fact, I don't know if you know this, but it was his character was supposed to be Pedro Pascal. And
no,
I'm actually
Pedro was obviously busy.
Right. There was some sort of contracts that I don't know the reason. I'm glad he wasn't
Brolin.
In it. Yeah,
oh,
I do. I love Josh Brolin.
That square jaw gets me every time.
Well, I think Pedro's charisma might have gotten in the way in this. None of the characters is that central. Do you agree with that? It's pretty interesting.
Both its strength and its weakness.
Yes.
The weakness being I want more.
Okay. Yeah.
How about the chief villain? I want more. Right. What's her motivation, for goodness sakes?
Yes. And I was going to save that for the end, but I would say I'm curious your perception about that, because they keep teasing, and every time the little boy goes into this monster's lair, they're recharging. I want to see this monstrous thing, and it's just not. It's just an old lady.
It's everybody's maiden aunt or
right, exactly, aunt. Exactly. But you know what? I don't want to detract overall from this. This is an incredible movie. The pacing, the cinematography, which I was delighted to learn, the cinematographer was the same guy who did Everything Everywhere All at Once. So that explains.
Yes, that's quite a pedigree.
That would explain why it's so tight, action-filled, colorful, and really interesting.
Now, Ezra, it's called Weapons.
Yes.
Now, how does that work?
I was hoping it would be more symbolic and metaphorical. And there's a dream scene. I'm sorry, I'm spoiling something. But there's a dream scene where there's an enormous M16 in the sky.
Yes, or AK-20.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
But automatic weapon. Which that lets you, that's about as deep as this metaphor is.
Well, if you're going to talk about the allegory, and you know how I love to dig this out.
Yes, please. Please, allegory.
All of our school shootings.
Oh, okay.
And so basically the story here is that about, I don't know, how many, 17 kids?
Right.
From a classroom, except for one.
Yeah.
Gee, what does that tell you? Except for one.
Oh, wow.
I know. They just are at 2:17 at night. Mm-hmm. All of them are going somewhere.
Right.
They're rushing through the neighborhoods going somewhere. This seems to me to allude to the fact of how many kids we've lost in some of these shootings. And then, as you say, as in this dream sequence, when you have this machine gun up there, it's probably Krieger suggesting that one of the facets of this.
Helping the slow among us, like myself, understand?
No.
John, that's why I love talking about movies with you, John. I didn't even think about that at all. But I agree with you that I definitely think one of the main themes is that of childhood trauma.
Boy.
The trauma and the incredible performance by the kid's name in the movie, I believe, is Alex, which is Corey Christopher, who's only 9 years old at this time, maybe even 8 when they're shooting this. Just a nuanced, believable, empathetic performance. And you see the horror that goes on at home. In this case, literal horror.
Yeah.
But he goes to school and straight face, you never know.
Yeah.
And the kids are bullying him and kicking him in the butt. It just makes me feel for all those kids out there who experience things like this.
Yeah, and one of the deft things that Krieger does is he doesn't point you to the kid as being responsible for the loss of these children. And in fact, if you take a look at this doofus cop, Yes. He doesn't even seem to have... He'd be aware of, yes. of what's going on.
Now, this movie is skirts on the edge of one of my cardinal sins, which is to have all unlikable characters, which makes her movie a slog. I guess the kid makes up for it because he's...
There is one very likable.
Tell me. I want you to surf right in and tell me. Which one are you the most interested in?
Very good. So Julia Garner yes. is in this, and we just came off of talking about her on Fantastic Four.
Yes.
She has done so much TV and so on, mm. I was just not aware of her presence.
I wasn't either.
Now, when you treat her like Goldfinger mm-hmm. and you just make her all silver.
Silverfinger.
Right? Yes. You got my attention.
Right.
And feature her eyes, mm. which are lost in this.
Yes.
But she's a little bit goofy in this one. Yes. She's the teacher.
Yes. And I'm curious how your perception of her has changed seeing her in this role.
Well, and that's a good question.
Yeah.
Had I not seen her in Fantastic Four, it's a great question. I hadn't yes. thought about that.
Yes.
But you're right. I would not have, because she's really kind of mixed up in this.
Right.
The character she plays. Is,
yes. And as the teacher of the class where all the kids go missing, I'm waiting, as the audience, I'm waiting for them to show us how sympathetic she is, and it's not her fault. And she's, but actually, she's kind of a terrible person. She makes terrible decisions. She's mixed up with a married guy. She lost her last job because she keeps breaking the rules all the time. She's an alcoholic.
She's an alcoholic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, every time we see her,
how many liquor store scenes are there? There's at least three or four.
I know.
She looks like she's 95 pounds soaking wet, and she's buying 3 liters of vodka. So she could definitely drink. I thought that was a very interesting choice because they feature her in all the trailers, and you assume she's the protagonist, but she's not. She's just one of many.
And there are 5 chapters, I think, here.
Yes,
and
at least.
Didn't he have, if you saw Barbarian,
yes.
I think he had chapters there as well.
He did. Very clear breaks, not breaks, but transitions in the
yes.
story, which are done so well. It just yes. makes like, okay, what's going on next? And in Barbarian, when they go down those stairs in the Airbnb, it's just
do
a completely different movie.
Go down
movie.
Those stairs. How many times do I have to tell you, don't go into the cellar?
That's the best part about horror movies. You yell at the screen, don't go down the stairs. And they do anyway.
And if Bill Skarsgård is anywhere near,
okay.
you just get out of town.
Right. And that's one of his greatest strengths as a director, to just... to balance all these, it's a non-linear telling of a story. Actually, pretty short period of time, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough to fill 2 hours, over 2 hour runtime.
Yeah.
The length of time in the story is only a couple days, I think.
Yeah. One of the characters in this not-so-obvious character is the town.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, as I'm thinking back of this, I don't see a lot of the town. I was expecting disappearance of these kids to overtake the town.
Right.
Just to overtake the psyche, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The 5 segments indicates that there are individual lives in this town, some of which aren't even concerned.
Yeah, it's
about.
A tiny, sleepy town.
Yeah.
And you're right. That's another really interesting angle, that you see the town. There's no one in it, ever. There's,
right.
I mean, we don't meet almost anyone except at the parents' meeting and in the gas station. See the clerk there who says, stop messing up my store, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not very not a living town at all. It's not very interesting.
Ezra, we have to encourage our audience to listen more to what you have to say about weapons, and that means that they have to go to WCVE.org, and they have to look at the podcast experience and Double Take.
We'll make it worth it.
And worth it is because invariably FeedSpot will pick up on our show.
Make it so, number one.
Yeah, and you'll want to come back. But right now, Ezra, there are several horror films that have come out. Actually, not bad ones. But so now we have weapons. And what do you suggest for a family that's looking for a good movie this summer?
Definitely, if you are a fan of horror and you're old enough to appreciate it, I wouldn't bring any kids to this one. But keep an open mind for a new creative twist on horror movies featuring kids and the supernatural and everything. I think you'll have a blast.
And I'm agreed. And let me see, you wouldn't bring Zoe to this until she's probably 10.
Maybe I would. She doesn't know what's going on.
Right. But I would. I'd bring my 5, 6, 7-year-old, and they would love it. All right, Ezra, we're still talking about weapons.
Yes.
And we've dispensed with the title. We figured that one out. And now we have a town in which it's kind of a Stephen King
yes.
experience, don't you think?
Yes. Yes.
So all
it
these
feels, it has the feel. I don't remember where it is exactly. I think it's maybe on the, I think it's in the Northeast somewhere maybe, but it has that feel of, so like an alpine almost. It's like if they're bitter winters.
Yes.
People kind of keep to themselves a little bit. It's spooky.
Yeah, it is. And we have two of our favorite actors, Julia Garner
yes.
and Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. And I'm glad you brought that up. Another one of my favorites bursting onto the scene is Benedict Wong.
Oh, yay, so yes. nice. Yeah, the principal.
Yes. What a wide range that he is. So he is actually a Brit. He's from London. His parents are from Hong Kong, but he grew up in England, and he became famous for his role as Kublai Khan in the Marco Polo series. That's TV. I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but so he went from Genghis Khan type stuff. And then he was a foil to Doctor Strange in some of the Marvel movies. And now he's a gay principal. So he's definitely got range.
I know. And talk about comedy.
Yes.
He and his partner.
Yes.
In their apartment.
Now, I'm dying to know, what were you feeling when he became zombified and he's carrying out his weapon task? He's running out with his eyes bulging out of his head. There was a comical aspect of it. It was terrifying, but his eyes were bugging out so much. I couldn't stop laughing.
Well, I thought that the way that Krieger was able to pick on principals who are usually, assistant principals are usually the target. But in this case, for every kid's fear of his principal, and then suddenly this one turns out to be almost a zombie. It's really good.
Right. I want to know if those were his real eyeballs or if those were prosthetics.
Or they're CGI.
Maybe. One or the other. But it, the first instance where you are both terrified and laughing at the same time, which there's very few movies or very few directors that can kind of do that. It's usually one or the other.
No. Alden Ehrenreich plays Paul, and isn't that the cop?
Yes, with the mustache.
And now I'm thinking about the druggie.
Oh, yes. I don't have his name down, but he did a fantastic job. So the same director, Zach Krieger, is going to remake Resident Evil, and he's going to use that actor who plays the druggie in this movie. He's going to be featured in that movie, so he's going to get his shot.
Boy.
What did you think about his performance?
I thought it was a bit over the top.
Okay.
But see, my challenge is that I buy everything.
Okay.
I'm completely indiscriminate.
No deniability.
About what I enjoy.
Okay.
Right?
I mean,
throw it at me. Uh-huh. That's one of, I think, Krieger's geniuses, that I accept all the over-the-top stuff he does in this.
And he has mixed in yet another form of horror in this movie, which is, I would call, medical horror. Being stabbed in the face with a dirty needle.
Oh, yes.
Just the visceral horror of watching that.
Yes. And we've had another variation, for instance, in body horror.
I
don't think we had
body
any of that
horror as well
on this one. There are a couple of set pieces.
Yes.
And the one that is coming to my mind is unforgettable, besides that, is the kids at the end.
Yes.
Bursting through the home.
What did you think of that?
I loved it.
It
was so bad, it was good.
It was great. Now, compare that to 28 Years Later, a movie that I loved.
Me too.
However, the last minute or two, I was really let down by, of 28 Years Later. You compare that to where this is done, a very, pretty serious horror movie, but with a somewhat comedic ending, which was so much more effective.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different tonally, but still satisfying.
The image is unforgettable.
Yes.
I mean,
just running with it, screaming.
In the soundtrack, you hear this guy complaining about his lawn.
Yeah.
He says, they're wrecking my lawn. Yeah. And can you imagine how much fun those kids must have had?
Oh, yeah.
Breaking through those windows.
Yeah. Running through people's living rooms and everything. And then they literally tear it to bits, which is great. The physical and special effects are also quite good in this movie.
Oh,
is it
God,
the vegetable peeler? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, dude, hit the face?
Yes.
Oh, God.
We're ruining all the best parts. Hopefully people have seen it when they listen to our review.
Well, that's always a challenge we have. But we've given only pieces of it. We haven't given it all away. Let's talk about horror films that we really like.
Sure. I have a little special subgenre of other, again, like I always say, horror is great because you can mix it so many different ways. Horror, sci-fi, horror, drama. In this case, horror comedy, which is not quite as voluminous. But the first one that probably maybe the most famous would be Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Which is kind of like Dawn of the Dead.
Which is real comedy.
Yes, real comedy. It's a British comedy. And that's just pure comedy with zombie elements.
Right.
Zombie Land, which is probably the best one. That's a fantastic film.
I agree.
That's Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent actors and really good pacing, but that's just a straight comedy. I just saw a movie. It just happened to be forced to watch a movie with my friends, but Final Destination. I would argue that that's kind of a comedy as well. Just the way that people are dispensed just so in, you know, with so much injustice.
Things
squish you into bits.
Well, now, you're disappointing me because there's a grand reference in this film to a horror film.
All right.
And it isn't often thought of as a horror film because it's such a classy, literate film.
Okay.
But they have set a couple of shots which reprise this film. It's The Shining.
The Shining. Oh, yes. So the door, of course. Of course. If we're talking just straight horror, yes.
I know.
That's still my favorite horror movie, actually.
Wow. I mean, talk about a smart horror film.
I was almost taken aback by how directly they referenced it.
She actually
stuck her face in the door and, here's mommy, right?
Right. And when they start banging it and breaking through, you start to think, wait a minute now, could this be like The Shining?
Right,
when she sticks her face through.
Was there more that made you think of that? How could you not reference that movie?
Now, here's a kid horror film.
Yes.
It's definitely not for kids.
Okay.
It's a litmus test for me as to how good our movie is. This is going to be The Exorcist.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What do you think? I'm using this now. I'm putting the two right up there.
Okay. Which one's better, are you saying?
Yes, because I'm talking about Weapons as being maybe the best of the year.
Right.
Probably the best of the year. That's pretty high praise.
I agree.
Now I'm saying, let me put my, I don't know if it's my fave.
We're holding up to higher and higher standards.
Yeah. Huh? So now let's put it next to it, and do we have it?
I would say if you are being fair and judging it based on other contemporary films, Exorcist is probably a little bit more significant.
Yes. All right.
Just because there were reports, people were passing out in the theaters.
Yeah.
Do you know when they were showing Exorcist?
It
was a sensation.
Yeah, right.
Now, this has a lot more technical, a bit more masterful storytelling.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The impact of that movie, there's nothing like it for years before or after.
And I would have to say that Krieger does maybe one better by including more characters. And we just had the priest, we had the kid. But Krieger attempts to create a town. He does. To the extent that I don't know some characters like Brolin's character well enough.
Yes. That was one of my other criticisms of Weapons, is that they really push you to really get to know these characters. There's a lot of character development, at least an hour, the first hour. And then when they become zombified, that's it. There's not much payout to getting to know these characters. Because once they turn, except for the exception of Josh Brolin, who we bring back, all the other characters get killed. And it makes you feel like, why did we spend so much time learning about what they eat for breakfast and what they do for work? And all.
And we mentioned early on that we wanted more out of our villain.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's really a pretty fine.
I was hoping for something Nosferatu-esque, some ancient creature who had a bit, but modern horror films are trying to keep things more grounded these days. They're not giving us anything like that.
Well, no, I agree. And you mentioned 28 Days Later, which is also one of my favorites. Now, there are kids in The Conjuring, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
There are many Conjuring
I'm just trying
movies.
To think of ones where... you have kids.
Well, there's Annabelle, which is about a doll.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And I'm glad you brought up kids because I'm curious how you feel about this. I have a defect, John. Anything.
Which one of these?
What a Betty. Any horror film featuring children are just not scary. They're too cute. They're small and they're laughing. And the trailer, I'm really curious what other people's perception is when the children are running out into the darkness at night with their arms like an airplane.
Yes, right.
That's not scary. It's not at all. Not unsettling, not in the least.
Well,
maybe
you know,
I'm not old enough.
That's a great point because it dovetails with my concern about depth.
Yes,
that is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us, but even then, when we see who the villain is and why the kids are drawn, we're not really sure. I mean, what's her motivation?
Right. Well, they tell us her motivation is whenever she zombifies someone, she gets to absorb a little bit of their energy. And she has been doing this for a while, I'm assuming, and it's not working. So she said, well, what if I can get 17 children? And she did.
Yeah.
But we don't see the effect of that. I was expecting to see her rejuvenated and 50 years younger or something, but we don't see
that. All right, here's one that counters, I hope, your argument.
Okay.
Because they got to bring in something. Megan.
Yeah.
As far as lovable goes.
Well, that movie will scare me away from the theater. So, yes. Correct. That's all CGI, though. You're proving my point.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the little kid in The Grudge is a little scary, I guess, but they're just too cute. They got big heads. They're really small.
Oh, God. All right, that's going to be almost it for us. I'm not even sure that Feedspot is going to want our show. But
we're too controversial.
Right, we are too controversial. I would have to say one of my, not involving children, but mm-hmm. involving young people,
yes.
20-ish, mm-hmm. would be The Descent.
The Descent. Okay.
Remember there?
Is it down into a cave or something?
Yes, remember we got the humanoids there?
Yes.
Oh, I love
them. Oh, that's a,
the people
yeah.
that can't see.
That's an intense one. Down. That's an intense one.
I think
one.
This is really
that's
great.
Definitely in more B-movie category.
It is. Ezra Hoover, that's enough. You already scared the bejesus out of me. I'm wondering, what do you advise now? Here we are. We're at the end of summer. People are still looking for something maybe that an entire family could go to. Do we dare suggest this?
No.
Okay.
No. We'll have angry letters in the mail. This is definitely an 18 and up movie. It's pretty intense. There's self-harm. There's lots of blood and guts. But for the horror aficionados out there, it is a must watch. Must watch.
Thank you.
Now, the ratings on this are up in the near 100. Do you agree with that, both the critics and the audience?
And I'm glad. Okay, because I think it deserves it.
Good.
It's called.
This director deserves it.
Yes, and this director does. After mm-hmm. Barbarian and with this, he is a comer.
Yes.
He is one of the forefront for these scary but smart movies. And when you get people like my surfer, my silver surfer, you can do it.
Can't wait to see what he does with Resident Evil. So we'll report back as soon as we can.